when we started today, I quoted you from source number one on the sheets, the Torah's prohibition against chatnez, mixtures of wool and linen in your clothing. I pointed out that it comes from a verse in Leviticus that is talking about mixed species in your fields, mixing animal species as well. And we also noted that this poem about the woman of substance or woman of valor, the Eshet Chayil, talks about her seeking wool and linen. And we wanted to know, why is she seeking wool and linen if you're not supposed to make clothing of wool and linen? So let's understand what this is. First of all, biblically, the prohibition applies specifically where the two materials are blended together. Meaning, not that there is, you know, some linen in the collar and there's some wool elsewhere in the garment. It's where the wool and linen are actually blended together, and there's a lot of discussion in Jewish law about to what extent they have to be blended together for the garment to be prohibited. But in practice, we avoid a garment that has wool and linen, even if they are not blended together in the garment. There's a lot to say about this. This isn't a lecture on the laws of chatnez. But what is the issue? What is this all about? So I mentioned to you, when we read the verse initially, that the Torah frames it as a chok. And I told you that the word chok is understood to refer to a law that is engraved in stone. It's simply so, and don't bother pursuing a reason. If you take a look at source number 14, you see the comment of Rashi on that verse. Rashi says, chukim are decrees of the king. There is no reason for it. Now, Rashi says, there is no reason. Nachmanides comes along, quotes Rashi, and says, whoa, 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 you're getting ahead of yourself here. It's not that there's no reason. It's that the reason is not disclosed. Take a look at source number 15. Nachmanides says, this doesn't mean that a decree of the king of kings is ever without reason. God doesn't just say, ha, I think today I'm going to have them avoid clothing of wool and linen. That'll be entertaining. Tomorrow, it'll be beaver tails and their hats. No, this isn't what's going on. Rather, the chukim are decrees of the king who declared laws in his kingdom without revealing their benefits to the nation. God has a reason for it. He saw fit not to tell you. Do it out of loyalty to God. That's one way to look at it. However, there are still all sorts of other explanations. Have you heard explanations for why not to wear chatnez? Why not to wear wool and linen mixed together? Yeah, Sylvia.
Basically because of Cain and Abel.
Ooh, good.
Brothers.
Good.
Yeah, I know it's down here, but that's what I...
No, you got it. That is one. That is one explanation. We're going to come to that. Thank you. Marilyn.
Well, when I was a child, and I remember asking my grandparents, and they said, it may have something to do with kashrut. I know it doesn't sound like it, but because there's such a law against kashrut, that it has something to do, or it was analogous to kashrut.
Interesting. I don't know what the link would be, except that the rules of which species are kosher or non-kosher is also classified generally as a chok. Although we then try to give all sorts of explanations for why this and not that. We talked about that when we did the Jews in Food series. So, some suggest that it's based on certain history. And I'm going to offer you three different historical ideas. Number one, Maimonides. Take a look at source number 16, Guide of the Perplexed. I'm quoting here from the Friedlander translation that you can find online. He says, we have explained in our large work, meaning his work of law, that it is prohibited to round the corners of, right? If you're familiar with the law of, on the one hand, Bal Takifu, a Jew is not supposed to get a haircut that goes like this, all the way around the head. Like a mushroom cut, like that type of a thing. And number two, not to cut the corners of the head, right? The peyot. Peyah is a corner. Peyas, as people call it. So he says, it is prohibited to round the corners of the head and to mar the corners of the beard because it was the custom of idolatrous priests. He says, the answer is because in Egypt, the priests for idolatry did this. So God said, I don't want you to emulate them. For the same reason, the wearing of garments made of linen and wool is prohibited. The heathen priests adorn themselves with garments containing vegetable and animal material, whilst they held in their hand a seal made of a mineral. This you find written in their books. He says, if you read the books of the idolaters, you'll find all this stuff in there. So God wants you to stay away from their blending of the plant and animal kingdoms in their idolatrous rituals. Fascinating idea. Of course, it forces the question of, what if I live in a time when priests don't do this? You know, God put it in his Torah, and now we're stuck with it, even though we've never seen a priest do this. Nonetheless, that's Maimonides' explanation for it. Alternatively, if you look at source number 17, this comes from a work called Dad Zakenim. It's a collection of comments from, as I wrote there, 13th century Western Europe, roughly 13th century. And the argument is that in the tabernacle, the Mishkan, that the Jews used as they traveled from Egypt into Israel, they had a curtain. So take a look at what he says. Because the curtain in the tabernacle was made of shesh, which is linen, and from techelet, which is wool. So that wool and linen were together. And God did not wish for his children to make something like it. As we have seen with the incense, God warns you, don't eat what was used in my service for yourself. You can't make the oil like they used in it. You can't make the incense like they used there. And you're also not supposed to use materials that were in the curtains in the Mishkan, in the tabernacle. That's another argument from history. And then the last one, and this is what Sylvia mentioned. Take a look at source number 18, please, where the Torah describes what happened with Cain and Abel, Cain and Hevel. It was at the end of a period of days, and Cain brought the fruit of the ground, a gift to God. And Abel also brought from the first of his sheep and from their fat. And God turned to Abel and to his gift. No, God is not making a statement about vegetarianism. That's not the idea. However, Abel is presented as offering the choicest, and God favors it. And we've talked about this story before, and why God has to choose one over the other. Why can't God accept both? And Cain offered his offering before Abel did. We talked about that at length in other contexts. But the idea here is that the first murder has Cain bringing fruit of the ground and Abel bringing from the sheep. And take a look at source number 19. Again, this Dad Zakenim suggests, in addition to the idea mentioned in source number 17, that Cain brought flax. When it says he brought of the fruit of the ground, it means flax. Flax is what you use to make linen. And Abel brought from the first of his sheep, which is of the type that produces wool. God did not wish for them to be joined together. So we don't want to recreate the mixture that led to the first murder. That's another argument. Okay? Is that too quick or we're going all right? Okay. Then you get the mysticism. The mystical argument says there's something else going on here. God embedded unique traits in every element of creation, and blending them would corrupt our world. This goes back to the context in the book of Leviticus about blending animals and blending plants, right? So God gave everything a special force, and blending it will corrupt our world. You could also connect it, go back, actually Marilyn connected it to keeping kosher, blending meat and dairy, right? That could be part of it. So take a look in source number 20, the Sefer HaChinuch from 13th century Spain. It's also found in Nachmanides' writings. God placed in everything in the world, at the start of creation, a nature which would enable it to function well and properly for the benefit of the world he created. And he commanded each one to perform its function according to its type. So everything has a role to play. If you blend them, you have a problem. Someone messaged me asking, the title of this book in 1917 was Da'at Zakenim. So Da'at is intelligence or mind or idea. And Zakenim means elders. a zaken, singular, is one elder. Zikenim are elders, plural. So here you get a mystical idea that there are powers in this world that we are not supposed to blend. And that's what we are avoiding in Shatnez. And then if you flip the page to source number 21, another mystical idea. Rabbi Elazar of Vermeisa in Germany, writing in a book called the Rokeah, he says, if you were to look at the book of Daniel, chapter 7, God is described as having Amar Nike. His hair is like white wool. Whereas Malachim, the angels, wear linen. The servants of God wear linen, as described in Ezekiel. You have an angel wearing bad, which is linen. It is not the way to mix the garb of the master and the servant together. So we've seen a whole bunch of explanations at this point for something that Rashi said doesn't have a reason. Right? Rashi just said it doesn't have a reason. Nachmanides said it has a reason, we just don't know it. But everybody's out to prove them both wrong. We have three different historical explanations. The Egyptian priests, the curtain in the Mishkan, Cain and Abel. We have two mystical approaches, not to mix the forces God created in this world. Or the wool represents God, and the linen represents that which serves God, and you shouldn't merge them. All these different explanations. But let me ask you a question. We're going to finish this today. We're going to make it. If you're not supposed to have wool and linen garb, why did the Kohanim wear wool and linen mixtures? Because they did in their service in the temple. Take a look at source number 22. One example of it is a garment called the ephod. The ephod is a colorful vest worn by the Kohen Gadol, by the high priest. They shall make the ephod gold, techelet wool, purple wool, red wool, and spun linen, sheish mosh zar. So I don't understand. The high priest serving in the temple is wearing a forbidden garment. Now, of course, it's not forbidden because God told him to. But why would God tell him to if this is really such an anathema thing? What's that about? So I point you to a passage from the Zohar. If we had time, I would take comments, but I'm going to just, I want to make sure we get through this. Get back to the poor Eshes Chayil who's waiting for us. The Zohar in source number 23 says, because Shatnez, this blending of forces, is accepted in the place of perfection. It points out a rule. There is a rule in Jewish law that says, asei docha lo taasei. A commandment overrides a prohibition. Without getting into too many details, this gets applied to tzitzis. Meaning, the tchelet strings on tzitzis are made of wool. What if I have a linen garment? A linen four-cornered garment? The answer is, you still put the strings on. You use wool strings and it's fine. Even though that's wool and linen together. Why is that okay? Technicality. You're fulfilling the commandment of the tzitzis. It overrides the prohibition. There's more to be said about that. I'm not going into the whole discussion. However, if you take a look at source number 23, look at what the Zohar, fundamental work of Jewish mysticism, has to say. And tzitzit, we have established that they are found in the place of perfection. They do not do anything bad. They have no bad effect to them. It's the perfect garment, and therefore it's okay. And then he talks about the Kohen. And when he, the Kohen, enters the sanctuary, the place where perfection is found, and all of the tasks of perfection, even though wool and linen are joined, we are not concerned. As we said regarding tzitzit, because there are found and joined all of the types of the heavens above. And all of these vessels of the temple, in them are found various types that are different from each other, and all of them are included there as they are above. The place of the temple, the meeting place of heaven and earth, that is a place where you can have wool and linen together. So for the garment of the priest, it's okay. At least the high priest. Whether the regular priest also is its own discussion, I'm not going into right now. So let's now come back to our question from the beginning. We asked, If you're not supposed to wear woolen linen, why is the woman of valor, right, go back to source number two, seeking wool and linen? What is that about? So the simple answer is, she's seeking wool and linen to work with separately. She's going to make wool garments and she's going to make linen garments. You don't have to assume that she's blending them. That would be the straightforward answer. But whoever likes the straightforward answer, take a look at the last source from the Zohar, same section that I quoted in the previous source. It says, she seeks, darsha, she seeks. What does she seeks mean? She looks for and seeks regarding wool and linen anyone who joins them together. Within this read, the Eshet Chayil, the woman of substance or woman of valor, is God. It's the Shechina. And God is seeking those who join wool and linen in order to punish them for having done so. Turns everything on its head completely, no?
Maybe she's making it for the priest.
Ooh, that was my next line. You just stole my ending. Thanks a lot. Well, I can just take off for the next 2 minutes now.
You are good.
It
occurred to me, dads have a reason.
Right. So the first answer is she's not combining wool and linen. The second answer is understand Eshet Chayil not as a reference to a human being making clothing, but rather the Zohar reads it as God seeking out those who join wool and linen in order to punish them. But I think the answer may be she is indeed, as Marilyn got to it before me, she is looking for wool and linen in order to make the clothing for the Kohanim. Because we know that in the Mishkan, the women were involved in spinning and weaving in that tabernacle that the Jews had. And we have similar stories with figures like Devorah, down through the ages, who are involved in this, in the wicks for the temple and in the clothing of the Kohanim. So maybe that's what it's saying. She is righteous and she is devoting her energies to create the holy clothing that's going to be used in the Mishkan. I think that may be the answer for why this is so.
I like the first answer.
That's good.
Thank you.
I like the first answer because the first answer says that Hashem is andromorphic. We don't know if it's both, right? And sometimes God is referred to as a she.
Yes. I mean, we do. The Shechina is worded, you know, is always referred to with feminine terms. It's true. Okay, so thank you very much, everyone. I'll stick around for a couple of minutes. Rosalind, you were going to say? But anybody who has to go can go. I'll just mention before people go hang on 1 second. I have already prepared the flyer for the next series. We still have one more week for this one. But I prepared the flyer for the next series, which is going to start in the beginning of January. And it's going to be a fun one. So I'm not sending it out yet. I'm not ready for registration yet.
Thank you.
But it will be going out. Yes.
Thank
okay.
You, Rabbi.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Rosalind.
Is there significance to the color purple?
What do you mean?
Well, it says in 22, and they shall make the ephod gold.
Yes.
So that wool, purple wool, we talked about red last time. Is there something
yes.
with purple too?
So purple is often understood as a royal color.
Yeah.
You find that quite a bit. The Hebrew word for this is argaman. It's actually where the word comes from originally is probably not Hebrew, but the word that we use is argaman, and it's often associated with royalty in Judaism. Yeah. Yes. So that may be the significance.
Okay.
Sheila. You're muted.
I just wanted to make a comment about clothing.
Yeah.
I was invited to a Seder, close friends,
mm-hmm.
and the hostess, and it was 30 people, had a terrible argument with her daughter because her daughter refused to take off the jeans.
Oh boy.
To the table because she insisted she was going to wear jeans and the mother said, no, you can't wear jeans on Pesach. Anyway, it destroyed the whole mood and the feeling of the Seder, this terrible argument that this mother and daughter had in front of everybody.
Yeah.
And I just wondered what was the whole, point of creating this hullabaloo was celebrating a simcha on an item of clothing.
So I'll tell you this, and you know it, and you know, parenting is hard. Parenting is so hard. And this was not, I don't know who you're talking about. I don't know when this was. I know nothing about these people, except that the daughter was, I think you may have said an age, but they, but, okay. I don't think this was an argument about jeans and a Seder. I don't think, I think that happened to be where it blew up that night, but this is a much bigger issue that, that they are dealing with than jeans and the Seder. And I, you know, all parents have my sympathy. They, it's terrible that, that happened. And there's a bigger picture to that relationship, I think. Sarah. Yep. Yeah. Yes. Sarah.
I wanted to ask the rabbi, if you shouldn't mix animals, how come Jews or do Jews use mules?
So this is a very interesting question. I'm not allowed to crossbreed species. However, if they have been crossbred, I am allowed to use the results. It's only a prohibition against doing the breeding. So for example, I can go to the supermarket and find in the produce section, products of grafting. It's okay.
Like
right. It's okay for me to eat that. Where the question becomes, it becomes interesting is, what if there is a tree that already had the graft done, and now I buy the tree and plant it in my yard and maintain it? Am I allowed to do that? The answer seems to be no, but it's a very interesting discussion. But I'm allowed to use the fruits of this this blending. That's permissible. Okay. Thank you very much, everyone.
Feel better, Rabbi.
I hope to feel better. Thank you. Be well. Bye-bye.
Zinc and vitamin.